I am John or Jonathan. I am one of the young adult leaders here. Brian is my wife, and I also run Sound, in case you do not know me. I was asked to do this, and at first I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's Father's Day. Like, that feels important. And then I was like, you know what? No, God's got this plan, so I'm excited. Just going to share a little bit of my journey with being a father. Right now I have a one that's almost 2 years old. I'm sure you heard her during worship and service today. Always very loud. I have another one that's due any day, due date the 29th, so that's very exciting. Yeah, a lot of my fatherhood journey probably began, or at least there was a catalyst, when my father passed away, and that would have been about 3 years ago. When that happened, I realized, like, I was like, wait, I have gaps. I have things that I still wanted to learn from him. And I was like, where do I go from here? You know, there's the heartbreak, there's the loss, and there's everything else. And then there's deciding what you're going to do moving forward. So I decided I'm gonna look into it. I'm going to search something out. After some Google searching and different things, I ended up on the Brave Co podcast from Jason Valentin. Highly recommend it. Very encouraging. It talks about a man's journey. It's about the path, you know, responsibilities and different things like that. And one thing that really stuck out to me was, you don't suddenly learn something just because you get older. So that really changed my perspective, because a lot of times you see, you look at a father and you go, yeah, that's the perfect example, and your father is great, and but there's still things that you need to learn. And then that was even before my wife was pregnant, and then we got pregnant. And so in my head, I'm like, I gotta figure something out to be, like, I wanna be the best father I can be. So what does that mean? It means I gotta dig deep, and I gotta dive in, and I gotta keep learning and growing and learning from other men. So there's a few things that I just wanted to highlight that I've learned just from my journey, and I mean, it's still going on. So first, we're gonna start with identity. Genesis 2, 18 through 20. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So God gave man, Adam, identity, and then in turn, he told Adam to go give identity. This is before Eve. So this is God laying the foundation of what he wanted man to do and Adam to do. So primarily and first off, men, our job is to instill identity. You see identity in the names throughout the Bible. Simon the Zealot, Doubting Thomas, the title prophet, king. So all these are an identity. And as soon as you hear that, you have a basic idea of who these people are. So identity means something. Words mean something. So when you start speaking something over someone, or as a father, you're saying something to your child, if you say it enough, people start to believe it. And if you're the one hearing it, sometimes you don't take it right away. If you were to take it to heart, then it becomes part of your identity. But it's important that we keep speaking that identity, especially as fathers and men. Encouraging is good, but it's not the same as identity. Encouraging is more specific to an action or an event, saying, hey, you're doing a good job, keep it up, but it's not the same. I just wanted to put in there that with identity and different things, it's not about a decision made, because it's about a story of who you are. Identity is your name. It's who you are. It's not just the sum of a few decisions. So when you're walking it out and you're walking through things, it's important to note that it's an overall story. It's not just a couple of events that define your identity and who you are. Jesus says in John 15:15-17, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Talking about identity, Jesus said we no longer are servants and have authority to ask the Father anything in his name. A change in identity can shift everything. But we got the Holy Spirit. No longer was there this gap between us and God. Jesus bridged the gap there. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And now we can walk and be activated in that power. Talking about identity shift, from lost to found, unloved to loved, unrighteous to righteous, sinner to saint, unworthy to worthy, servant to friend. It's important to start speaking identity just to people in general. You are smart, you are beautiful, you are capable, you are a child of God. You are a Helbig, in my case, and Helbigs do hard things. I think one thing as far as learning identity and having that is your last name matters and your family matters. A lot of your identity comes out of your family and your family's name. If you grow up in a small town, a lot of times your last name is a huge part of your identity. Because they're like, oh, you're such and such a person, you're this person's son, well, I know he's a good worker, or I know I shouldn't trust him, or something of the like, because it's important. And obviously with the last name, you're not defined by the family around you, but it's important that you understand that it is part of your identity and what you do. It's important to speak identity early in kids' life so they grab onto and hold it while they're learning. Because as their brain are developing, they're trying to understand what their place is. They're going from, I'm just having fun, to now I'm starting to understand things. I'm starting to realize there's a purpose to things. I have things I can do. So it's important to do that early on. And even as an adult, your identity can be redeemed from that if there were words spoken over you as a child. And until you give that up as an adult from that identity that you held on to, it's going to hold you back. So it's important to understand the identity God has spoken over you, but also hearing what other men are speaking over you and what other identity is being spoken into your life. And then letting go of that childhood identity that your father may have spoken over to you, because it's not always truth. So it's important to separate the truth from the lie on the identity that people are trying to speak over you. Another thing would be, so if someone is, just an example, if someone is smart and they do something dumb, are they dumb? No, they're not dumb. They made a decision. They made a decision contrary to who they are. So in that same way, with identity, it's important to note, just once again, that your decisions or a couple decisions isn't who you are. And in the same way, we should not be so quick to relabel ourselves or others. You talk about big name people messing up. Like, that's been going on a lot, and that's been shaking people. But people forget the good, and yeah, they messed up, and yeah, they're human, but you're gonna label them just because it's more public than something else. So it's important when you're talking about identity to focus on what God is speaking over you, but also what God has spoken over someone else. The next thing I would talk about is purpose. So identity is a driving force of purpose. If we know who we are, then we know what we do. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and every living thing that moves on earth." So in this, God is giving Adam and Eve purpose. They have names, they know who they are, they have identity, and now it's purpose. Dominion over the earth, fruitful and multiply, and subdue the earth. Dominion refers to supreme authority, sovereign power, or the right to govern and control. Subdue means to conquer, bring under control, or reduce the intensity of something. As men, and if we're following out the calling, we're called to bring order to chaos. Something subdued is not out of control, and dominion over something without action is authority unused. So this was applied for both Adam and Eve, but if you want to bring it back to what it means to be a man, because this isn't having to do with just being a father. This is Adam before he was a father. So this is designed for man in general. But he's saying, as men, we are not called to be passive. And sometimes it's easy to sit back because some people feel more capable. But as men, we are called to subdue and have dominion. And it doesn't mean you have to be overly aggressive with it, obviously. But it's an understanding of it's important to have that control and just understand it comes from God. So I would just encourage you just to walk in that authority in your daily life, family, work, and friends, and just bring that order to chaos. More on purpose. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 26. "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." You have a purpose in the church. And without you, something is missing. The truth is, what you have in your life and the wisdom that you have, other people need to hear. That's the important part about being together. It talks about being a body and something being missing. If we're talking about men's ministry, any outing, event, different things like that, without one person there, you might miss out on an opportunity that you could have spoken to their life. John, for example, what he was talking about with Bruce. If Bruce wasn't at men's ministry, he wouldn't have had that life-changing moment on that day. So it's important to remember the purpose we have and how much we matter and our words matter when we're around. Verse 22 says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You might think you have little to give, but God says you're indispensable. The smallest things can change everything. A single word can change a person's life. Speaking something out in faith can change an atmosphere, it can change a life, anything you do. So when you're walking things out, it's important to realize nothing is too small that God will use. Moving on to responsibility. So with purpose comes responsibility. So as you grow as a man, so does your responsibility, or should. But a culture, in this culture, we're kind of taught that we grow out of responsibility. You're taught that if you work hard enough, eventually you can stop working, and then you can just hang out for the rest of your life. But in the kingdom, our responsibility doesn't end. Galatians 6, 2 through 5. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. We are called to carry our own weight, but we're also called to carry each other's burdens. And a burden is too much for us to carry. So for most men, we don't always like to share a burden because we're taught independence is good. If you're a strong man, you can go ahead and get it all done yourself. And you shouldn't have to rely on anyone. But that's not true in the kingdom. See, God taught us that we're supposed to be interdependent, not independent. And if we're talking about a body, we just learned being apart from the body, you're missing something. If we're not in a relationship, and we don't talk about our burdens, then we just end up carrying it alone. And God didn't intend us to carry it alone. So that's why it's so important for us to be together. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission. He's calling us to make more disciples. Be together. Go meet people and train them up. Your goal should be to disciple and create more people like you. As you grow closer to Jesus and become more like Christ, so will the people that you disciple. God is calling us to grow together, and God is calling us to build each other up through discipleship. Amen. In the same way that God gave us identity, purpose, and responsibility, as men, that's what we're called to go out and do. I think of all the points here as far as identity, purpose, responsibility, it all starts with identity. If you don't understand who you are, if people aren't speaking into your life, if you're not putting yourself in a position for people to speak life and identity into you, then you don't know what your purpose is, then you're not going to step into that responsibility. So it all starts with identity. It all starts with understanding who you are. It starts with separating lies and truth about knowing what God has for you, what his plan is for you. If someone speaks something negative-wise and you start to take that on as identity, that's clearly a lie. Anything God says and Jesus says is going to be life. Anything contrary to life that you take on as identity is a lie. So being able to separate that, you should be able to, in your head, immediately go negative, positive. Is that life? Holy Spirit, is that true? Do I need to take that on? So just be aware of when people are speaking to you. But men, speak identity. You talk about prophecy and being prophetic and how it's supposed to be uplifting. Many times identity is spoken through that. So operate in the gifts. Step out. And I think now would be a really good opportunity if you want to play some just light music. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this or not, but I feel like God's pulling this way. I think it's a good time for men to come up here, and then we're going to pray for any man who wants identity or purpose spoken over them, or women. But I just want men who you feel confident in your identity to be up here and pray over everyone, instill that identity, and start moving on and doing, walking in God's purpose.